Well, the address for this morning is based on the gospel that we just heard from Luke, which is the story of Jesus visiting the home of Simon the Pharisee. And I guess, you know, what Simon did in terms of inviting somebody around for a meal has always been something as an expression of friendship. And I'm sure we can all remember times when we've been around to other people's homes, or conversely have also had people come into our own homes. I can remember back in 1992 when I first came to Wollongong and I came to St. John's here on a Sunday. And I can remember that the pastor at that time, who was Neville Crevolt, spontaneously on the same day invited me back to his place for lunch. And I remember feeling, you know, very, very welcome by that. I can remember in our own home that we've often had people coming around for dinner. And it's always been something that you remember as a time of friendship, something that you cherish through all those years, memories that you have in terms of meals had together. Even just the basic meal that you might have every day with your own family is something that you remember. And I always know when I was a child that I was always late for dinner. So I'm sure that my mum would say that the one thing she remembers about me as a teenager is that I was always rushing in at the last minute, just before the food came onto the table. But I guess the family meal that we have together is not only a time for sharing food, but it's often a time when we actually share the ups and downs of the day. It's a symbol of the unity of our family and the love that is shared within the family. And we can also think of the communion meal that we have together as Christians when we come here to the communion table and we eat the body and we drink the blood of Christ. And then we're reminded there by his love for us and his forgiveness and the fact of the promise that he gives to us in that he will stick with us through thick and thin. In today's reading, we hear also about a meal. And we hear about Simon, who invited Jesus around to his home for dinner. Simon was a Pharisee. He was a lay religious leader, somebody who spent most of his life studying God's word. And the other person was a wandering rabbi who we know as Jesus. And so we're told that Simon actually invited Jesus to his home. Although we're not told in the reading why Simon invited Jesus. And well, I suppose we might be a little bit skeptical. We might wonder about Simon's motives. Because at that time, we know that the Pharisees were one group who were extremely critical of Jesus and his teachings. If we go back to inviting somebody to our home, what do we often do if we have an important guest coming to our house? I know we'd often get out the best cutlery. We might get the best crockery out. We may even crack open a bottle of wine that we thought was special from the cellar. But what do we hear in terms of the way that Simon treated Jesus when he came to Simon's home? I guess his reception was a fairly cool one. There was no customary welcoming kiss when Jesus arrived. There was no washing of Jesus' feet as he entered Simon's home. There was no olive oil for anointing his feet, which was customary when an honoured guest came to dinner in those times. And I guess from that we might consider that Simon may have had some motives behind inviting Jesus around. Maybe he was a little afraid to show too much affection to Jesus because some of his colleagues may think that that was not appropriate given their opposition to Jesus. Maybe Simon had invited Jesus around to have a relaxing glass of wine and something to eat, hoping that he might catch out Jesus in terms of something that he might say, something that might further condemn him. Or maybe it was a combination of the both, we really don't know. But maybe the two of them were talking about religion. And we're told that a woman who lived a sinful life entered the room. And since we're all sinners, we're told that from Luke that this particular woman led an extraordinarily sinful life. And although we don't know, we could perhaps propose that she may have been a prostitute. And she says nothing to Jesus, but she falls at his feet weeping, drying her tears off his feet with her hair, kissing her feet continually. And she'd brought a jar of expensive perfume to anoint his feet. So I think you can see a contrast here in terms of the way that Simon and the way that Jesus, well, sorry, the way that Simon welcomed Jesus versus the way that the sinful woman welcomed Jesus. The sinful woman's welcome was affectionate, emotional, and very loving. Simon, on the other hand, towards Jesus, was fairly cool and aloof. He may have even had an ulterior motive for why he had invited Jesus to his home. You could say that his heart was icy cold. And that brings us to another contrasting way that the two men viewed this woman kneeling at Jesus' feet. Simon the Pharisee could only see a disgusting, filthy, sinful woman. And what's more, she was actually touching Jesus. He could only think of what perhaps others might say about having this sinful woman in his house. He couldn't understand why Jesus was even allowing her to touch him. So we hear in the gospel that he says, if this man really were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him. He would know what kind of sinful life she lives. But Jesus' attitude to the sinful woman is very different. What do you see? Jesus asked Simon. Do you see before you a woman, a person with fears, loves, hopes, dreams, and feelings? Or do you see someone who is filthy and disgusting, someone who offends you? Do you see a person who needs to be loved? Or only a problem person that needs to be tossed out of your home? Do you see a person who needs to be helped, to be welcomed, to be embraced? Or do you only see her sin? We may think fairly poorly of Simon's attitude and his prejudice. And I guess we're right. His attitude stinks. But we have to admit that Simon is only doing what we also do so easily and without even thinking about it. It's so easy to prejudge people, to show prejudice. In our own lives, in our own locations, what do we see when we look at a homeless person on the street? When we see a drunk person, even an immigrant? What do you see when a person asks you for a dollar for a sandwich? Or a mother who is unable to buy food for her children? Or adequate clothes for her own children? If anyone had the right to brush away the woman, it was Jesus, because he was the perfect, sinless, pure Son of God. But he didn't. Simon the Pharisee would have avoided having anything to do with her as if she had the bubonic plague. He could only see her disgusting sin. Jesus, on the other hand, looked past the dirt and the filth and saw a woman who needed his help. And what's more, she got it. Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus loved this woman, even though she had no right to expect anything from him. Jesus forgave her many and terrible sins. This is God's grace at work. Grace sees more than our sin. It sees a child in need of his love and forgiveness. In the Old Testament, we read that God does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I guess that reminds me of another saying that we might have, which we often would say, don't judge a book by its cover. Where Simon the Pharisee saw only a disgusting prostitute and a terrible sinner, Jesus saw a child weeping at his feet, needing his help and his love. He had the ability to see beyond her sin and see beyond the degradation in her life. He had the potential to see the marvellous inner being within her. Back in the 1860s, William Booth used to stroll through the slums of London while his wife taught a Bible class. He noticed that every fifth building was a pub where men could loiter all day and drink away all of their family's money. Many pubs even had steps leading up to the front door so that children could even climb up and order gin. Now, William Booth was appalled at these conditions. And in 1865, he opened the Christian Mission, serving the down and outers in London, those that were ignored by others. And out of that vision, out of a small beginning, grew the Salvation Army. Church people frowned on the clientele that William Booth was attracting. They could only see disgusting sinners. But William Booth could see people who needed help and people who needed guidance. Our challenge this morning is, how well are we doing at seeing beyond the sinner and loving the person? We might say, well, it's easy for Jesus to do this. After all, he's God. We know from the Bible that our behaviour repulses him on the one hand, but on the other, he loves us. Even though our sinfulness upsets him, he will not give up on us. If it weren't for God's grace, none of us would have any hope of having eternal life. And I guess going back to my story of being late for dinner each evening, even though I did that repeatedly, day after day after day, my mum and my dad still provided food to me on the table, even though I continually turned up late every time. At our baptism, God came to us, and through the water and his word, he claimed us as his own people. And he promised to love and forgive us always. He promised to act as a guide for our journey through life. And what's more, he continues to do that every single day of our lives. Even though we are terrible sinners ourselves, because of his grace, he can still see us as his dear children. That's all right for God, but it's pretty hard for us, isn't it? Too often we are more like Simon the Pharisee. It's a lot easier to condemn. It's a lot easier to prejudge people. What's more, it often makes us feel good because we can make others look worse than we are. It's something that we seem to be so easily doing in our sinful nature, to write other people off as hopeless. And what's more, then have nothing more to do with them. We see someone living and sleeping in the streets, and we say, that's their own fault, and we walk away. It may be true that it's their own fault, but Jesus challenges us to see them as he sees us. Someone tells us a hard luck story, and we judge them as hopeless and useless. That may be true, but Jesus challenges us to see them as he sees them. Someone gets on your nerves. When you see that person, you tend to duck out of sight. That person may be aggravating, but Jesus wants us to see a person like that as he sees them. He sees that person as his child needing help and love. And what's more, he sees us as just the right person to share with them some of the grace and love and understanding and tolerance that he himself has shown us. There's a unique concept which we find in the Christian gospel, And that is the whole idea of grace. It's the core and the center of everything the Bible has to say about God. He doesn't love us because we are especially lovable. In fact, we're just the opposite. We're sinful people. But he still loves us and wants us to be in his family, to have eternal life. Not everyone accepts this gracious offer from God. Some people choose to ignore it all of their life. Some never come near the church between their baptism and their funeral. But God still makes the offer. Even when we put on airs and graces, when we judge others as being not as good as ourselves, when we turn our backs on those in need, he still sees us as his children. He patiently and lovingly keeps on offering his love and his forgiveness. May our prayer be today, Lord, help us not to look down on others, but to see them as you see us, people who are loved by you. Amen.